Well, time for tonight's quickfire panel and a bit of an overview of the M&A and general corporate finance space for the first half of the year. And as Dealmakers editor Mary Lou Gregg points out in the most recent issue of Dealmakers in her editorial note, it's amazing how things can change in a few short months. If you look at South Africa, the downgrades by the international ratings agencies, we've had another finance minister appointed. We've had the mining charter and all its attendant uncertainty. We've had the DTI lowering the empowerment ownership thresholds. And unsurprisingly, buffeted by these events, we've seen M&A activity over the first half really come in to, well, it's quite muted, quite similar to the first half of 2016, but certainly a far cry from the heydays of 2007. If you look at the value of M&A deals for the first half, it was just under 189 billion rand off 220 deals, and the largest individual deal being Vodacom's acquisition of an almost 35% stake in Safaricom. Now, of the top 10 deals by value, Glencore, which has a secondary listing here on the JSE, was party to five of those deals, two of which subsequently failed, which I do think speaks a little bit more to Ivan Glasenberg's deal-making appetite than the investment environment for commodities, certainly in South Africa. Well, to tease out some of the big themes and trends on the M&A scene tonight, I'm joined in studio by Quinton Honey, director in the corporate and commercial practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Quinton, good to see you again.
Good evening and good to be here.
On the line, Craig Forbes, one of the co-heads of R&B Corporate Finance and representing the investment advisors tonight. Craig, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Lydia Shadrach-Rosino, director of ENS Africa in the corporate commercial department and someone who straddles the private equity and the listed space. Lydia, always a pleasure chatting. I hope you're keeping well.
Keeping well, thanks, Michael. Thanks for the invite.
Now, Craig, I think clearly what comes through is a big theme, looking at the dealmakers' numbers, and dealmakers really tracks the M&A and the general corporate finance market. Is this uncertainty with a capital U continues to dog South Africa? What are the headline features of the M&A market for you from an investment advisor's perspective so far?
Yeah, it's definitely tough out there. I think you know, the blanket of uncertainty does mean people tend to be a little bit more conservative, circumspect. There's no doubt deals are taking longer, and there are a number of parties that have been sitting on the sidelines waiting for the elective conference to kind of garner more certainty in the market. I think what you have seen, you know, the league tables are skewed somewhat, I think, as you say, by Glencore being quite active in a divestiture cycle to bring down their sort of gearing levels. But, you know, the outbound M&A trend, I think, is something that will continue as numerous sovereign corporates want to diversify geographically and also, you know, seek out growth in other markets.
From those themes, Quinton, what are you seeing in this market? It's probably less about deal-making for growth and more deal-making in response to all of this uncertainty, be it regulatory or political, which are probably two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, exactly, Michael. I mean, the kind of deals, although there's in number similar to last year and the year before, the nature of the deals are all driven by reactionary things, and it's reactionary to the uncertain political and economic climate, and also to, you know, legislative and regulatory changes. For example, the changes to the BEE codes, all of those things are certainly driving deals. But yeah, the deals are not predominantly driven by what you want to see, and that's by progressive, you know, growth driven imperatives. And you can see the, for example, the big deals like, you know, the Vodacom acquisition of interest in Safaricom. That was a big deal, but it's moving into Africa and acquiring an interest in the Kenyan market. So it's a lot of those kind of deals where South African investors are looking offshore for growth opportunities.
I want to come back to that because I do think we're seeing some activity from a growth perspective in the fibre space. But Lydia, firstly, as an opening observation, what are you seeing from your perspective at ENS Africa?
So overall, it's been a busy six-month period, but that doesn't mean that things are great at the moment. I think the market is slow, but it's slightly busier than last year, surprisingly. In the PE space, trading seems to be down. At all levels, portfolio companies are not growing. Earnings are down, which means that it's more of a buyer's market. And if one is brave enough to buy an asset not showing growth at the moment, thereby taking a long-term view. And there aren't too many big PE deals going around the market at the moment, and nothing really noteworthy for me in the last 6 months. Perhaps save for the announced acquisition by RMB Ventures and Investec Asset Management of the acquisition of Camosa Distribution, again, offshore in Botswana. The deal hasn't closed as yet, but this for me will be one of the noteworthy 2017 PE deals. The international funds are certainly nervous for obvious reasons. There are also a number of sellers trying to dispose of big assets that are struggling. Because there's a big gap in the market between what purchasers are willing to pay and what sellers are willing to accept in the current environment. So all in all, it's a tough market. And outside of PE in the general M&A space, deal activity, like you said, Michael, is nowhere near what it was a few years ago. But what we are seeing is a number of restructurings, BE deals, capital raisings, and offshore investment. So I completely echo what Craig and Quinton are saying, in that it's definitely reactionary deals and not necessarily where we want our market to be going. And again, everyone's talking about it, the standout deals, the Vodacom's acquisition of a stake in Safaricom offshore, the Fushimi Group's acquisition of the retail apparel group in Australia, again, offshore. And those are two of the biggest deals we've seen this year.
It is all about outbound M&A and this reactionary deal-making, which is keeping everyone on their toes because there is so much uncertainty. And you know, we were chatting to Wayne McCurry about it, who is tonight's market commentator. He had lunch with a gold mining company today, and they invest for up to three decades. They need line of sight. They need some form of policy certainty to know what the rules of the game are. And currently, it's just so difficult to understand that. Interesting, your point about the expectation gap, Lydia. And I'd just like to, before I move on to you, Craig, Lydia, get your thoughts on capital raising in the private equity space. John Bellew is going to be coming onto the show tomorrow to talk about permanent capital vehicles. But we're seeing more of this innovative capital raising structure as we find the currency volatility makes it quite difficult to raise funds from offshore limited partners.
Yeah, so there's generally a sense that it is more difficult than it used to be to raise funds, but there are a number of PE players that are raising funds quite successfully. Ethos, for one, not too long ago, just raised their mid-market fund, and they've seen a gap in the market where Ethos was generally writing the much bigger checks for the bigger assets. They're now looking at the mid-market, and they've managed to raise the funds for that. So in my view, there are funds out there, and there's capital out there, but not necessarily this great pipeline on which to spend it on.
Craig, coming back to the overall deal-making environment, and from a fundraising perspective, we know that is, what is it, $1.4 trillion supposedly sitting on corporate balance sheets at the moment. So companies are stockpiling a lot of cash. When do we expect to see this cash deployed in the South African market? Are we just waiting for a victor of any persuasion come December, or is there a particular candidate that is key to unlocking this?
Yeah, Michael, I think that's a question we could spend a lot of time debating. There's no doubt that right now, I think, there's some very different views and I think when we went around this panel, you'll get a different view from everyone. The critical thing here for us is ultimately certainty one way or the other, and I think that's how kind of markets and corporates will ultimately decide what to do next. So, you know, there's such a pivotal moment, and it could, you know, lead us down very different paths. So I think in a way, this blanket of uncertainty definitely is going to continue to mean muted deal making. I think there is some pent-up demand, to your point, with certain pressures on certain companies that may need to merge to almost survive, you know, so sort of back-footed activity.
Mm.
But I think the sort of normal front-footed positive activity is likely, you know, to show its face probably in the beginning of next year, when there's certainty one way or the other. We'd all hope for it to be a sort of very positive sentiment, but a lot of that's out of our hands. But I think the one thing you can, you know, attribute to South Africa is resilience, and the fact is that people will find ways to continue to innovate their businesses, to find growth, to restructure themselves. So we're anticipating actually a very strong sort of start to the calendar year 2018, and that just really means that we'll know kind of where we stand politically, and, you know, we'll deal the cards that are dealt with us or dealt to us at that point.
Well, if you look at our history, we've done pretty well during times of heightened political uncertainty. In the late 80s, following a state of emergency, and just before the dawn of the democratic era, we had the birth of the likes of Bidvest and MTN shortly after the dawn of democracy. So our management teams tend to be quite opportunistic when there are periods of volatility. It does mean if you've got testicular fortitude, Quinton, you can pick up a good deal. Let's talk about one of the sectors that, and you mentioned telcos, that in the lower end here, and I'm talking about the fiber land grab, that does seem to be quite a positive growth story. The likes of your Vumatels, what they've done, bootstrapping, getting MES funding, then senior debt funding, and talk now in the market that they may list soon.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, even though it's a tough market, there are certainly opportunities. And, you know, the telecom space is very much a great opportunity in South Africa and Africa in general. But despite that, you know, there are a lot of people who are trying to get into the market but are failing. So it's really up to those companies such as Vumatel, who are extremely entrepreneurial in nature and very business savvy, who can, you know, see opportunities and take them at the right time. And in doing so, they've been very successful. So I think, you know, I think because of South Africa's history and the resilience and so on, it has led to producing a lot of great entrepreneurs, and it really keeps us, you know, at the forefront of that. It's just making it difficult for those who are not quite up to that.
Very diplomatically put, Quinton. I think a lot of investors are also having a long, hard look at Long for Life and wondering what Mr. Joffe is up to there after he's waved goodbye to Bidvest. Quickly, Lydia, and literally in 10 seconds, BEE, will that continue to be a strong driver?
Most definitely. I think currently and definitely as a result of the recent changes to the code, as a result of the BTI dropping the threshold, we're seeing a hell of a lot happening in the BEE space, and also a hell of a lot happening in terms of restructuring previous BEE deals.
That was Lydia Shadrach-Rosino, Director of ENS Africa, joined by Craig Forbes, co-head of R&B Corporate Finance, and in studio, Quinton Honey, Director in the Corporate and Commercial Practice at Cliff Decker Hoffmeyer, with a whistle-stop tour through the state of mergers and acquisitions in South Africa.